Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Times of Israel. IDF tanks take control of Gazan side of Rafah crossing to Egypt. Key road captured. The Times of Israel. Hezbollah claims latest drone attack on north. Times of Israel. Leaked clip shows Israeli tank crushing I Love Gaza sign in Rafah. Times of Israel. IDF border police conclude 20-hour operation in West Bank to Karim. I welcome Jonathan Shanzer, vice president of the Foundation of Defense of Democracies, to interpret these headlines going in different geographies and different conflicts. Chiefly, we're going to concentrate on the Rafah crossing, however, because as narrow and small as the Gaza Strip is, it has distinctive phases. And the Rafah crossing is at the extreme left side as you're going toward Egypt. It's a crossing that has long been there. There were barracks there when I visited one time. That would be where the Israelis stationed their deployments during the days they maintained the so-called Philadelphia Line, which was about 300 yards wide, made entirely of sand. On one side of it was the wall that marked the international border to Sinai. The other side of it was a ruined village called Rafah, and there were guard towers there once upon a time. Now the landscape has changed, and I welcome Jonathan to help us sort out what this limited operation, that's a word that's being used in Israel and in Washington and London, limited operation describes. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Limited how? Good evening.
Good evening. Well, as we know, the Israelis have pushed Hamas south over the course of the last 7 months. They started in the north in Gaza City and in Jabalia, and then they moved further south to Khan Yunis. And the further south they pushed, the more civilians and Hamas fighters they pushed into the south. This is where they have been now for the last 6 to 8 weeks. Initially, the concern was about Ramadan and fighting during Ramadan. Since then, the concerns have been about the displaced persons, and there are an estimated 1.4 million people that have been sheltering in temporary structures in this area along the border that you just described. The U.S. has been very nervous about an Israeli operation. The Israelis believe that without putting additional pressure on Hamas from a military perspective, that there will be no release of hostages. And this has been an ongoing dialogue between the CIA, the Qataris, the Egyptians, and the Israelis. And after Hamas balked at the latest offer, and by the way, after Hamas fired an estimated 10 rockets 2 days ago at the Israeli crossing known as Kerem Shalom and killed 4 soldiers, the Israelis decided that enough was enough. They do not have any designs on a full invasion of Rafah, which was what they initially discussed. Instead, right now, they appear to be operating primarily on the eastern part of this town where there are fewer people sheltering. But they have also gone in and started operating along that border that you described, John. And that border is going to be an interesting thing to watch because the reports suggest, multiple people that I've talked to out of Israel have suggested to me, that there are significant tunnels that lie beneath that Philadelphia crossing, as it's known, connecting the Sinai Peninsula to Rafah, to the rest of Gaza. Some people have described it to me as a tunnel highway, that this has been the way that Hamas has replenished its thousands of rockets over the years and the ammunition. This is how fighters and leaders are able to leave Gaza, get training in Iran, and come back. It'll be very interesting to see whether the Israelis disclose what they find beneath the ground. But I think they have now come to the conclusion that without sealing off that underground border, they will not be able to defeat Hamas. This, I believe, is going to provide the Israelis with additional leverage as they try to finish out their war against Hamas launched 7 months ago.
The New York Times reports that three tunnels were found near the Rafah crossing. It did not characterize it as crossing into Sinai. It did say it was near the international border. Is that a clue, Jonathan?
I think it's a clue. I mean, it's a sign at the very least that the Israelis are operating, looking for tunnels in this region. And the big question, really, you have to remember, John, that, of course, the Israelis and the Egyptians, this is the oldest peace in the region for Israel. And as the saying goes, as goes Egypt, so goes the rest of the Middle East. It was always understood that the peace with Egypt was the thing that kept a lid on the violence. Of course, in the 1950s and 1960s, Egypt was the most aggressive Arab state in attacking Israel. There was the 1956 Sinai campaign. There was the 1967 Yom Kippur, Six-Day War. Then, of course, in the 70s, there was the Yom Kippur War. Egypt was key to all of those conflicts. They were the aggressors in every one of those cases. And so the, you know, the thinking has always been that Egypt is crucial to keeping quiet in the region. And so we're going to wait and see whether the Israelis disclose what they find or whether they want to keep it quiet and have maybe more diplomatic discussions with the Egyptians about what to do about what appears to lie beneath the Philadelphia corridor.
A puzzle, Jonathan. Napoleon practiced the art of battle with an exit corridor for the enemy when defeated. Are the Israelis suggesting they're practicing that? There's an exit corridor for Hamas. Has Hamas taken that exit corridor? Is it thinking about it? Is that an Israeli thinking?
I don't know whether they're watching what is happening on the other side of the border in Egypt. In other words, where are these exit, the tunnel exits? Because that might be something that the Israelis would watch. But I don't know that the Egyptians would be helpful in this regard. But I think the Israelis understand that this is the way in which weapons have arrived. It is the way that fighters have left or that they come and go to get their training, to get out of Gaza, to engage in discussions with some of their financiers and sponsors around the world. This is going to be, I think, a dramatic moment if the Israelis want it to be. If they decide that they would rather keep it quiet, we'll learn that too, because we won't hear much about what the Israelis find along the Philadelphia corridor. But I think suffice it to say, this is a pivotal moment in this battle, no matter how you look at it.
And the Egyptian authorities, as we understand it, if they know what's there, is there any way that the U.S. wouldn't know? Is there any way that Europe, the European Union, wouldn't know? I note that Mr. Borrell this morning is condemning. The State Department is not idle in condemning the idea of a Rafah crossing. Do they all know what you've pointed to, that the tunnels, the tunnel highway exists and that Egypt has been cooperating with Hamas all these years?
I would be shocked if they didn't know. Obviously, the intelligence cooperation between Israel and the United States has been remarkably robust and strong for decades now. The idea that the Israelis haven't shared this would be, I mean, just preposterous for me to imagine. I would imagine also that the Europeans would be aware. You know, there are, of course, those multinational forces, U.S. and others, that are based in the Sinai. They probably should have known. They probably should have been aware of this some time ago. I think that the entire problem was, let's just say, deferred. They kicked the can down the road on this, not thinking that a war like what we have seen unfold was possible. And now that I think this has all erupted and it's gotten quite messy, there is a question of how to solve it. I think that the U.S. is genuinely concerned about the Israelis entering Rafah because of the humanitarian ramifications, for sure. I think the Israelis are being very careful, from at least from what I've been able to discern so far with this limited operation, as you underscored, and I will underscore as well. But I do think that there is that that sort of follow-on challenge, which is, how does one address this? And I think that is perhaps one of the other reasons why the United States has been so adamant about the Israelis going into Rafah, that they do not want to see the collapse of the U.S.-led order in the Middle East, and that has hinged upon this peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. So again, I think the big question here is how public this stuff gets versus perhaps some quiet diplomacy where the U.S., Israel, and Egypt begin to renegotiate the terms of what happens on that border and what has happened up until now so that it doesn't happen again.
When we last spoke, we pointed to a handshake between Haniyeh and Erdogan. I believe it took place in Turkey. And then subsequent to that, there was information that Turkey was offering refuge or sanctuary to Hamas leadership outside of Istanbul. There was also a condemnation of Hamas by the mayor of Istanbul, but that's politics in Turkey. Has there been any more about the retreat position for Hamas to Turkey to take sanctuary in a NATO nation?
It is still viewed as the very likely location, the sort of fallback for Hamas. There is, of course, continued talk about the Qataris as a base. They've been a base for quite some time. Although, from what we understand, the U.S. began to put some pressure on the Qataris as Hamas was digging in its heels on the most recent deal that was floated for a hostage exchange. And the pressure from the U.S. was in direct response to Hamas's intransigence. And so it could be that we see the Qataris being forced to jettison the Hamas leadership that has been based there. And that would probably lead everything to Turkey as the primary headquarters. There are a few other places that I think we can identify as locations where Hamas is comfortable. Iran, of course, being one, but the optics of that are not terrific. Lebanon being another, but that's just exploiting a very lawless state that has basically no governance any longer. It's a area of weak central authority. Malaysia is another option, but it's too far afield from the Middle East. I think Hamas would be quite pleased to be based in Istanbul, to have their large contingent there. And of course, the ramifications of that are significant, given, as you note, that this is a NATO country. But Turkey is a rogue NATO country, and it really does not hide that in the least. So the optics would be complicated, but I think the logistics would be actually quite simple for Hamas to move there.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We begin with Hamas and the Gaza border. We now move to the north of Israel, where continuing harassment by the Hezbollah forces, rockets, anti-tank missiles, drones, suggest that the war in the north is either imminent or has to be solved. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.